Becoming a Productive Writer, 7 Habits Meets Writing Research. Hi, my name is Roger Graves. I'm a professor in English and Film Studies and in Writing Studies at the University of Alberta, where I'm also the Associate Director in the Center for Teaching and Learning and the Director of Writing Across the Curriculum. What is it about writing that causes so many of us to decide that, well, housekeeping tasks that we've avoided for days, weeks, or even months suddenly need to be done now? That's just one too many clumps of dog hair in the corner. I'm going to vacuum right now. That does it. Those library books are going back right now. For 18 months, I've put up with the junk in the garage, but today that changes. Well, that may be a bit of a caricature, but there's no question that sometimes we just find other things to do rather than do the writing that we know we need to get at. In putting together a series of workshops this year for professors and instructors at the University of Alberta, we considered first that perhaps we need to start with a lesson or a workshop that talks about how to write more productively. I don't really want to talk about writer's block per se, but really focus instead on production. Writer's block is basically on a sliding scale of kinds of production. It is like the least productive position you can occupy. So how do you move from a least productive position to a position that's more effective? Now, there's 3 articles that one of my colleagues, Cosette Lemelin, pointed out to me. One is called Writing Lessons. And in this, they talk about what are some of the habits you can use or adopt to make yourself a more productive writer. The first one is work with your natural writing practice and not against it. I think that works often if you're just trying to get going on one thing. In summary, it just means do things that are going to work for you. The second piece of advice they give you there is don't brag about how hard it is to write. That just reinforces the position you're in, and it doesn't make you get any writing done. And the third thing they advocate is write in different genres. And I really like this piece of advice because it may be that when you're trying to write a particular kind of thing, it's a tough thing to write. There may be other easier things to do, and you should do those as a way to sort of get yourself going. So don't let yourself get locked into a mindset where you really can't get anything done. There's another article called The Writing Style Prof. The reason I direct you to that one is that there's a great list of other books to read instead of doing your own writing. No, I'm just kidding, but there are a bunch of good books that are listed in that article that will help you find other strategies. The third article I'll point you to is called Improving Writing Productivity. It's in Inside Higher Education. They give you 3 pieces of advice there. The first one is no binge writing. What that really means is get going, but don't try to go around the clock or 5 or 6 hours or 10 hours in a row. You'll burn yourself out. The second thing they advocate is to find habits that work for you, which makes sense and presumes, of course, that you have habits that work for you. The third piece of advice they give you there is to track your progress. Some kind of data for productivity apps. They have 3 which I thought were interesting. One is called Remember the Milk, which helps you manage checklists. The second one is called Things, which really helps you do project management on larger projects like dissertations and things like that. And the third one is called Clockwork Tomato. I don't know where they get these titles. This basically is a timer, and it says give yourself 30 minutes to work on something. It's apparently the Pomodoro technique. And then take a break and then work on another thing for 30 minutes. So those are 3 articles which are out there which help talk about how you might be more productive. In addition to those 3 articles, there are no end of books talking to you about how you can become a more productive writer. What I'd like to do in this podcast episode, though, is really go beyond tips and try to talk about what does writing studies research have to say about what people need to know in order to write well. I want to combine that with some interviews and some work that Helen Swart has done on, she doesn't call it the 4 habits, but there are 4 categories of habits that successful academics tend to use. So we'll look at those, and we'll try to map those onto Stephen Covey's 7 habits and try to figure out how does what Helen Swart, what has she found out, how does that map onto what Covey is telling us? And then in addition to those habits, what is it you need to know in order to write well if you're an academic? Well, let's start with writing studies knowledge. So there are 5 facets of writing competency that Ann Beaufort has identified that people need to have. So you need to have rhetorical knowledge. So about the kinds of argument and the audience who you're writing for. You need to have writing process knowledge, which is how to go about a particular thing. What are the steps in doing something? The third is subject matter knowledge, which is you need to know what you're writing about. And then you also need to have genre knowledge. So that is to say, what kind of a document are you writing, and what is the kind of work that that document can do? In addition to those kinds of knowledge, you have to understand your discourse community, the kind of people you're writing to, who that audience is, what kinds of things they know and don't know, what is it they're interested in, and that sort of thing. So those are the five different kinds of things you need to know to be an effective writer. Helen Sword, in her interviews with academic authors, has identified four categories of habits. So the first category of habits is behavioral. She calls it time and space. It has to do with the kinds of things that you typically do. The second one is artisanal, which is an attitude of continuous improvement. You're always trying to get slightly better at what you're doing, stylistically or in some technical kind of capacity. The third is social, or working with others. Who else do you work with to get feedback from, to give feedback on their writing, to talk to about your work? The fourth is emotional. And she says pleasure or challenge or growth. What are you getting out of doing this writing? And if you're not getting some fun out of it, if you're not feeling that you're growing and getting better, you're probably not going to come back to doing it. Sword says that we combine or use habits from these groups in ways that are specific to ourselves. What I want to do now is talk about Stephen Covey's seven habits. The first one he says is be proactive. My translation of that for us is start writing today. The second one is begin with the end in mind, or know what you want to write. The third is put first things first, and I'm just going to say that that's prioritizing tasks that result in text. The fourth, think win-win. To me, I translate that as establish group contracts early. So if you're working and writing in a group, know who's going to get what kind of authorship status at the end of it. Number five, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And I'm going to say, spend time planning your writing. Know what it is you're trying to do here. Number six, synergize, which I'm going to translate as build trust with your co-authors. Be open to new interpretations and positions and for revision. Number seven, he calls sharpen the saw, which is basically take care of yourself. Now, if we try to map what Sword found with Covey's habits, we find that they both agree that the idea of start writing today, or behavioral things, as Sword puts it, time and space, those are similar kinds of things. It means get going. The second area where they agree, Covey says establish your group contracts early, rather I say that's my translation of him, and to build trust with your co-authors. Sword links, or you can see those as being under the category of social that Sword uses, or working with others. Covey says sharpen the saw. Sword says artisanal or continuous improvement habits. So those kinds of things work. Sword points out that there's an emotional or pleasure or challenge growth kind of thing to what she's found when talking to successful academic writers. I'm not sure that Covey, I can't find exactly where you would place that under Covey, but I don't think he would really disagree with that. So let's take this knowledge and let's take these ideas about habits and try to apply them to ourselves. I've got a series of reflections here. You might want to stop and actually try to write the reflection after I give it. And then I'll also suggest what I wrote in response to these prompts. So reflection number one, in your notebooks, jot down words, phrases, images, or more extended text that describes when you've been proactive in your life and in your writing. Another way to approach this is to describe how you went about writing a recent document. Did you always follow the same process? In response to these prompts, I wrote for the first one, coming up with this idea for a series of workshops for instructors. I came up by talking to a colleague in a two-minute side chat. I was really reflecting on a session that I had done last May at Thompson Rivers University for instructors there. And in this conversation, we came up with the idea of doing the same thing at the University of Alberta. So coming up with that idea for the workshop caused me to buy some books and read them, and then to come up with this presentation. Now, my process in answer to the second prompt varies all over the board. So writing a LinkedIn or Twitter kind of message, that's really, really different for me than writing for my website or writing academic articles. So I've got a whole series of writing processes, not one writing process. Now, when I gave this workshop last week, in the audience, somebody asked the question, how do we create exigency or the need to get going and work on something, to be proactive? And somebody else suggested that one way to do that is to sign up to give presentations, create deadlines for yourself, and then work towards them. Here's reflection number two. What document are you writing? So Covey says, begin with the end in mind. Take a few moments to identify the writing projects you are currently working on or want to work on, and describe the outcome of working on those projects as specifically as possible. So for example, if you're working on a research article, identify the target journal, the kind of article, the length, the number of citations, the organizational structure, and so on. And as you help to visualize that, you'll become more ready to write. My response to this prompt was to say, I'm going to do a podcast based on this workshop, so the notes are all going to help me with the script of that podcast. I'll still need to write the intro and maybe the conclusion later, though after I've thought about what went on and my feedback. But I've done about 30 episodes of the podcast, so I don't need to write every word at this point. I have slides to talk from and these reflections, so that's the bulk of it. So that was what I wrote. Here's reflection three. Covey says, put first things first. How do you prioritize teaching and research demands? Now, I didn't write so much in my response to this during the workshop, but someone in the audience did give us this quote from a Nobel Prize-winning chemist. That chemist said to do two things. One, work on what is closest to being finished. And I get that. And the second one is, work on what is most important to you. And this really fits with what Helen Swartz is saying, which is to get some pleasure out of accomplishment, that you're getting things done. Reflection four. Covey says, think win-win. Who can you partner with to create new and important research projects? And a second sort of prompt might be to, when you write in teams, do you establish at the start of the project what the rules will be for giving credit to outcomes such as authorship? So regarding partnerships, there was an email message through a listserv that I belong to about writing with faculty writers from someone at the University of Guelph. They're trying to put together a one-day meeting, and they had a doodle poll to respond to. So I did respond to that. To me, this might be the start of a good partnership with that group. It might result in an edited edition for a journal. And I'm not really sure where that's going to go to right now, but just by responding to something like that, I've taken a step forward. In the workshop, someone suggested that by getting everyone who's in the group to write what they think the paper will look like, these are all the co-authors, and then let her share that amongst themselves, that then, by that sharing process, you evolve into a shared vision, and that's much more likely to avoid any kind of problems that you might encounter later. Reflection five. Covey says, seek first to understand, then to be understood. So what do you want to learn more about through your research and teaching? And another way to approach this is to say, as you begin, but also as you move through a writing project, at what points do you plan your writing? What are you going to write next? When do you need to revise? When do you need to stop and gather more data? So my thinking about that was to say that I think that there are points in projects where there are times when, say, a draft is complete and you need to pause to reassess or reread where your weaknesses are or what needs to be improved or added to. And then we plan what needs to happen there. It can be hard to stick to those plans and focus on one project without getting distracted by other ones, though. For me personally, I need to work sequentially, you know, more or less one thing at a time. Because if I don't, I kind of drop things for months on end, and that's not really productive. Prompt number six. Can you describe one time when you had an aha moment or a period of time where your work seemed to come together well? Did other people play a role in this? My response to that was to talk about writing these podcast episodes because some have been really, really easy to write. I'm just so familiar with the material, the content. I don't actually need a script. I know exactly what I want to say. I might have some point form notes, but that's it. Others I've done have been handwritten out word for word to get down exactly what I want to say. I think it really comes down to how familiar I am with the subject matter and how many times I've rehearsed it in presentations over the years. So those are some of the variables. Reflection seven, the last one, takes up Covey's issue of sharpening the saw. How do you re-energize, reboot, rejuvenate? Sword talks about this in a linked way when she talks about where's the fun in this, where's the pleasure you're getting out of this, the sense you're moving forward. Honestly, for me, doing these podcasts has been a really, really interesting thing. It was a challenging thing for me to do. It's made me do things in really different ways, and it's been a lot of fun. I really do get a charge out of doing it. And so that's one way in which I personally have been able to find a lot of fun and to go forward. In terms of overwhelming your life, one of the things we did at the Center for Teaching and Learning this year at our retreat was to identify things, two or three things, new things we're going to do, but at the same time, identify two or three things we're going to give up and not do anymore. And I think you really have to edit your task list and not just keep adding stuff to it, but take stuff off. And I found that was really a hard thing to do. I thought it was really interesting that I found that hard to do. Thanks so much for listening. We had a really great workshop when we did this in person. I hope you've been able to get something out of this as well. To give me any feedback, you can email me at graves1@ualberta.ca or roger@wecanwrite.ca. On Twitter, I'm available at Roger Graves. And on LinkedIn, I think if you just search for my name, you'll find me. The podcast is available at rogergraves.podomatic.com.